Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Socialism Sucks Two Economists Drink Their Way Through the Unfree World is a popular economics travelogue by Robert Lawson and Benjamin Powell, published in 2019. It combines visits to countries associated with socialism, communism, or post-socialist transition with an unapologetically free market interpretation of what the authors observe. Rather than presenting a neutral survey of socialist theory, the book argues that extensive state ownership, central planning, and limits on voluntary exchange produce scarcity. Weak incentives, restricted choice, and political coercion, its deliberately irreverent title and recurring attention to beer, food, and ordinary consumer goods make abstract economic questions tangible. Lawson and Powell use their firsthand observations alongside historical context and measures of economic freedom to contrast more controlled economies with societies that permit broader private enterprise. The intended audience is general readers, particularly those encountering favorable claims about socialism without much exposure to its historical record or institutional mechanics. The result is concise, polemical economic education framed as an accessible account of travel through the unfree world. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, travel observations turn economic institutions into everyday evidence. The book uses travel as more than a colorful setting. Lawson and Powell treat daily experiences such as finding food, choosing a drink, seeing local businesses, using money, and navigating official restrictions as visible consequences of economic institutions. This approach gives readers an immediate way to consider how policy affects ordinary life. A shortage is not presented merely as a statistic. It is reflected in constrained consumer choice, unreliable supply, and the effort required to obtain basic goods. At the same time, the authors do not claim that a single shop or meal proves an entire economic theory. Their broader argument is that repeated patterns in heavily controlled economies are consistent with the incentive problems identified by economists. Producers operating under state direction may have little reason to improve quality, respond quickly to demand, or take risks. While consumers have limited ability to signal preferences through prices and purchases, beer and other local products function as memorable illustrations of this larger issue, not as the central subject. The travelogue form also allows cultural and historical differences among countries to remain visible. Readers encounter distinct national contexts, while the authors maintain a common analytical question: what happens when political authorities direct production and exchange more extensively than individuals, firms, and markets do? Secondly, central planning is criticized as an information and incentive problem. A central analytical claim in Socialism Sucks is that socialism fails for operational reasons, not simply because particular leaders are corrupt or incompetent. The authors define socialism in practical terms as state ownership and control of the means of production, then focus on the difficulty of coordinating a complex economy without robust private property, market prices, and competition. Prices do more than determine what buyers pay. In market settings, they communicate relative scarcity, costs, and consumer demand to countless producers and consumers. When officials attempt to replace that decentralized process with directives, quotas, or politically administered prices, they face incomplete information and weak feedback. The likely outcomes include mismatches between what is produced and what people want, low quality, waste, and shortages. The book links these mechanisms to the work of economists associated with critiques of central planning, while translating the concepts for non-specialists. Its argument also stresses incentives. If firms do not face meaningful competitive pressure, or if workers cannot benefit from innovation and productive effort, the system has fewer means to reward adaptation. This framework explains why the authors regard shortages and poor service as structural features of extensive planning rather than isolated accidents. It is a strongly market-oriented interpretation, but it gives the book a coherent economic basis beyond its provocative tone. Thirdly, Economic Freedom provides the book with a comparative framework. Lawson brings to the book experience as a co-author of the Economic Freedom of the World report, and the book uses the broader idea of economic freedom to organize its comparisons. Economic freedom, in this context, concerns the security of property, the ability to trade and start businesses, the predictability of rules, access to sound money, and the degree to which governments interfere with voluntary exchange. The authors use this lens to reject a simple binary in which every country is either wholly socialist or wholly capitalist. Countries can impose different levels and types of controls, and their histories can include both periods of liberalization and periods of intensified stated direction. This matters especially for nations that retained political controls while allowing selected market activity, or that moved away from communist planning without immediately becoming economically open. The framework supports the author's central comparison societies with stronger protections for voluntary exchange and private enterprise generally offer more opportunity, variety. and material resilience than societies governed through pervasive control. The book also distinguishes socialism from Scandinavian-style welfare states. High taxation and large public benefits are not, by themselves, equivalent to government ownership of most production. That distinction is important because debates often use the same label for very different policy arrangements. Readers may dispute the author's normative conclusions, but the effort to define terms makes the argument more precise than rhetoric, based solely on equality or compassion. Fourthly, the country cases connect contemporary hardship to authoritarian power, the countries visited or discussed, including Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea, China, Russia, Ukraine, Georgia, and Sweden, allow the authors to contrast different relationships between economic control and political freedom. Venezuela and Cuba are especially important to their warning about contemporary socialist enthusiasm, because both have often been invoked in ideological debates. Yet their economic difficulties are presented as cautionary evidence. North Korea represents a more extreme case of isolation and state domination. China illustrates a more complicated and patterned economic growth, and consumer dynamism expanded substantially alongside market-oriented reforms. Even as the political system remained authoritarian, post-Soviet cases highlight that leaving formal socialism does not erase institutional damage, corruption, or the legacy of weak legal protections overnight. The authors therefore tie their economic critique to a political one, where the state commands productive assets and suppresses independent institutions. Citizens may have fewer practical avenues to dissent, organize, publish, or build alternatives to official policy. The book does not offer a comprehensive history of every country it mentions, and its brief format necessarily limits nuance. Still, its comparative design makes an important point: outcomes are shaped not only by stated ideals, but by the institutions used to pursue them. Concentrated economic authority can reinforce concentrated political authority, making policy errors harder for citizens to correct. Lastly, humor and accessibility are used to challenge romantic views of socialism. The book is designed as a public-facing economic argument rather than a conventional scholarly monograph. Its blunt title, jokes, drinking motif, and short travel episodes are deliberate attempts to reach readers who might avoid a textbook discussion of comparative economic systems. Lawson and Powell are particularly concerned with younger Americans who may associate socialism mainly with fairness, affordable services, or dissatisfaction with inequality, while having limited familiarity with central planning and communist history. Their method is to begin with recognizable experiences and then introduce institutional reasoning. This can be effective because it makes scarcity, rationing, restricted choice, and bureaucratic control easier to picture than they might be in a purely theoretical treatment. The same choice creates limitations. An irreverent style may alienate readers who want a more detached account, and a travelogue cannot provide exhaustive treatment of debates about public services, redistribution, mixed economies, or the varied causes of national poverty. The book is best understood as a focused critique of socialism, defined as extensive state control over production, not as a complete account of every policy, sometimes called socialist. Its strongest contribution is communicative. It supplies memorable examples and clear distinctions that readers can carry into political discussion. Its weakness for some audiences is that its argumentative purpose is explicit, and its compressed format leaves less room for opposing interpretations. In conclusion, Socialism Sucks will be most useful for general readers seeking an accessible, free market critique of central planning, students beginning to explore comparative economic systems, and readers who want concrete illustrations to accompany more formal economics. It is also relevant to people who encounter the word socialism frequently in political debate and want a sharper distinction between state ownership of production, welfare state policies, and mixed market arrangements. The practical benefit is conceptual clarity. The book repeatedly directs attention toward incentives, prices, property rights, shortages, and the limits of administrative control. Its intellectual benefit is that it asks readers to judge political promises against institutional mechanisms and historical experience rather than slogans alone. Readers looking for a neutral academic history, a full defense of social democracy, or a comprehensive account of every country discussed should supplement it with broader sources. The authors are candid advocates of economic freedom, and the book is structured to persuade. What distinguishes it from many books in the same genre is its combination of firsthand travel writing, popular humor, and a recognizable economic framework. Instead of treating socialism only as an abstract doctrine or recounting its history from a distance, it uses small details of consumption and daily life to make its case. That approach makes the book memorable and readable, while its emphasis on comparative institutions gives its polemical presentation a consistent analytical center. If you would like to support Robert Lawson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.